now about one thing concerning the New World Order. Yeah, well, I might as well jump in, right? Might as well jump right into it. The New World Order, I'm convinced, has to be unaware that it is the New World Order. Hello, once again, this is the Revelation series. I am your host, making sense for a living here in my laundry room studio. This is Martin Zunder, and my template for this One World Order thing, the deception, is the Pharisees. The Pharisees of Jesus' day did not get up in the morning saying that they were going to be the ones that crucified the Messiah and that took Israel into a two-millennium period of dissolution and unbelief and hardness. No, that was not their intention. Their intention was to be the heroes of Israel. Better for one man to die than the whole nation perish. Oh, congratulations, you're a fan of the nation, are you? You're a lover of your country, and they were a lover. Well, they purported to be, and in their own minds they thought they were, but they were truly the Pharisees, lovers of selves. They were there to preserve their own well-being. And that will be also the disposition of this New World Order, this force that would bring the world to a wonderful place. You have to look at motives. There are the presented motives, and then there are the hidden motives. And maybe the entity itself doesn't know what its hidden motives are. The presented motive is we want the world to be a better place, and we want to bring peace and plenty to all humanity. That's the stated motive, and that may very well be the conscious motive, and you may really have to dig into the subconscious to realize that most of our motives, and I'll even speak of myself. Mark Twain brought this out in some writings of his, that no one does anything except it comes from a self-motivation. He says people are out to preserve themselves. And I happen to believe this is true. I think it is a God-given to preserve yourself. For instance, the argument was put up against Mark Twain that, well, that's not true because men will go to war. They will do what they don't want to do. They will go to war to fight for women, children, and country, and they will die in the service of that Holy Trinity, women, children, and country. So that's very selfless, isn't it? And Mark Twain would argue the counterpoint and say, well, actually, no, because the person is doing that because doing the opposite would be so distasteful to them. To not die for women, children, and country would be unthinkable to the person's own ego. So in other words, it eventually satisfies the person. It's the noble choice that would appeal most to a person's opinion of themselves, to die for women, children, and country. And so it is ultimately a selfish reason, isn't it? You might even look at Jesus Christ, who prays to God and says, Father, glorify me with the glory I had before the world was. He wants to do the right thing because it satisfies him to die for his Father. And he wants the glory that God has for him because he knows it pleases God. So it pleases him that it pleases God. And so we all ultimately do, even though we would try to convince ourselves, oh, this is altruistic. This is beyond myself. But it actually pleases you to do what is beyond yourself. I'm just trying to expose true motives here. And I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying it's God-given. Because Scripture does say, love your associate as you love yourself. So there's nothing wrong with self-love. In fact, it's essential. And some may argue that self-love is what preserves any good thing, that God put it in us. So back to the deception now. How does this work into the deception? If this is the motivating factor behind most human deeds, then I would look for, if you're going to look for an entity that's going to push across the biggest deception to ever come across, I think you would look at this for a first motive. Self. But If that's the case, then we need to look at something that's going to be whitewashed. There's going to be layer upon layer upon layer of deception. I'm told that the true New World Order is going to be that which fights a decoy New World Order. And I'm tempted to take it to another layer of deception and say that the New World Order, which would be fighting the decoy New World Order, that can't even be the New World Order. There has to be a New World Order on top of that, which is so deceptive that it doesn't realize it's a New World Order. And I think that's the ultimate deception. I'm convinced that the New World Order cannot think it's a New World Order. It has to be out for the greater good. Which is, of course, you can make the argument, well, it's still selfish. But what I'm trying to do, I guess, is eliminate that argument because everything's selfish. Everything is selfish. So eliminate the argument that it's going to be a selfish entity. Everything is a selfish entity. So now we're only looking at outside things. And the bottom line for me is this outside thing is that it won't belong to Christ. The real truth is going to be Christ-centric, and the real truth is going to follow Christ no matter what. And the real truth will disassociate itself from mainstream religion. It will disassociate itself from the pop icon Jesus, from the whitewash that says Christ, because as Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do mighty works in your name? And so the true one world order will be that which does things in Christ's name. They will claim his authority and his power. And they will be convinced of it in their own minds. This is my main point. They won't be doing it as a ploy. They won't be naming Christ as a trick. They won't be naming Christ as a political advantage, such as Donald Trump does. I mean, Hillary Clinton doesn't even bother to name Christ. Good. At least she's honest in that sense. Donald Trump is being disingenuous by saying, I'm a Christian. I promise you, I'm a Christian. Believe me, no, you're not. So, the true deception will truly believe with all its heart and with all its heart, name Christ. But it won't push Christ in a religious way. It won't make itself odious. It won't make people sick. It won't make people want to throw up when it mentions Christ, such as the religious right does. This is why a lot of the leftists are against the rightists, because the rightists religiously promote Jesus Christ and the leftists rightly gag. And so they know that they're a bunch of hypocrites, which they are. And I pointed this out to you before, that if you try to name Christ at all, and if you're still carrying around with that declaration the virus of eternal torment, or the virus of human free will, the virus of the Trinity, which is, or the big three doctrines of demons. I'll repeat them again. Eternal torment, free will, and the Trinity. This is the trifecta of viruses that the Christian religion carries with it. No matter how sincere they are, as long as these viruses are there, then they come across as a pack of hypocrites. God loves you unconditionally, as long as you love him. He loves you by total grace, but he will send most people to hell for eternity. And most thinking people, including atheists, including most leftists, look at this and say, that's crap. And so they want then to discard any baby that belongs to that bathwater. They will throw out the entire right-wing ideology just for the fact that for some reason, this ideological movement, which has many good things about it, is infected because for some reason the Christians jump on that boat. And the Christians screw everything up for everybody. If you could just keep an ideology, whether you want big government or small government, whatever, and get the Christian influence out of it, get this pseudo spirituality influence out of it, then you have a far better chance. But wherever Christ is named, unfortunately never the true Christ, the pop icon Christ, then that movement will fall into disrepute among thinking people everywhere. And so, if only, but again, the poor right-wingers have the disadvantage that Christians have jumped onto their bandwagon. And so, some of them actually accept that because there are so many pop icon Christians who belong to that voting bloc. And so they want to make them happy. So we have people like Donald Trump coming up saying, "I promise you, I am a Christian. I promise you." Right. I feel bad for that. Oh, before I go any further, I did look at that video by Paul Joseph Watson. I was tempted to look at it. I think it was on yesterday's show. I was tempted to look at it because it was so intriguing to me, the truth about modern art. Well, I went to it. I watched it. It's a 9-minute video called The Truth About Modern Art. It has 685,000 views. It's phenomenal. I am having Kelly link to it. So there should be a link to The Truth About Modern Art. There is some colorful language in this video, which I love. It's totally appropriate to the video, but if you're squeamish about it, I don't know why you would be, but if you are, then beware. I'm warning you ahead of time, but I roll out a red carpet in front of this video. Watch it. It's fantastic. It's everything I believe about modern art. And really, you can apply this to organized religion, too. Organized religion trots out a God and Christ that are losers, that try to win but lose, that try to do well. They mean well. God meant well when he sent a Savior to save the world. But it's a total failure, just like many of these modern art pieces. They put a pile of garbage in the middle of a room and they call it art. And we're supposed to all look at it. And it's the Emperor's New Clothes Syndrome. You're supposed to look at it. And if you're an enlightened one, you will look at this mess in the middle of a white room. And since it's in a museum, and since someone paid $1 million to stage it, and since the artist is supposed to be a genius, then we are to look at this pile of garbage and call it a masterpiece, because everyone else is. And if you don't say it's a masterpiece, then you're not an enlightened one. You are stupid. It's the same thing with Christianity. It's a big, giant museum of modern art. That's what Christianity is. We're supposed to look at this God that they trot out for us. They put in the middle of the room. And here is a well-meaning deity who tried to rescue the world from sin. He intended for a perfect universe, but Adam screwed it up. Poor him. The first man fouled his plans for humanity. Evil then came into his universe, and now it's been running amok ever since. And he's trying to salvage something, anything. He brought a savior forth as a contingency, a plan B, hoping to rescue as many people as he can from the clutches of Adam, who screwed everything up that went against the plan. And so God's trying, he's begging people to like him. Because only if you do like him can he save you. If you don't like him, he has no choice but to send you to an eternity of torment. And some Christians are so pure and holy that they say, this is totally unacceptable. We're just going to have God annihilate people instead, as if that's better. As if, here's a man who invents a piano. It's a great piano. It's a, what do you call those things? A Steinway. I don't know, what do you call a baby grand Steinway, whatever. But there's one string that's not tuned well, you see. It has one little chord that's off. So instead of fixing it, the creator throws the whole piano out the window and it crashes onto the street. That's annihilation. That is just as stupid as eternal torment. Anyway, we're supposed to now, that this God is put forth to us in a large room. And we pay money to go see this God. We're to attend church because this is where he's highlighted. And his creation is a mess. It's a piece of garbage. His Savior is a loser. We're supposed to admire it and say it's brilliant. This is a fantastic plan because everybody else says, Martin, there are millions of people saying that this is God in Christ. Why aren't you going along with them? Because I have a true vision, and I'm not politically correct, and I don't go with the flow, and I don't join the people who look at a pile of garbage at the Museum of Modern Art and say, "Wow, this is an amazing think piece. This piece really makes me think. What an insight into the soul." No, it's a piece of crap. The person who put it up has no talent whatsoever. They're talentless. They're moody, self-indulgent morons. And the Christians who put God forth as a masterpiece, their God, they're moody, misguided, self-indulgent morons. And their God is a moody, self-indulgent moron too. And I reject him. I don't admire him. I won't pay to see him. I won't fall for all the fancy spotlights that are on him. I don't care if he's been carefully crafted and put in a room with ropes around him, and if the greatest awe is attached to him, and there are 5,000 armed guards surrounding him, it's a hoax. It's false. It's fake. It's not art at all. It's a freaking disaster. I reject it. I reject it for true art. I'd rather look at the sun, or a tree, or a blade of grass than the stupid crap people put up for art, because that's true art. And I would rather, the sun is a truer representation of God than the Christian representation of God. At least it's unfiltered. At least you get the truth from it. I'd rather people look at the sun or look at a blade of grass than go into church, because, again, it's unfiltered. And now, if you want the real truth, you want more details about God than the sun, more details than the blade of grass, then you go to the Word of God unfiltered. You go to the Word of God as dictated by him to the men of God. In other words, you go to a good translation of Scripture that gets rid of human taint, of human playing around with it, human trying to fix it, trying to interpret it, and you go to an actual translation, such as the Concordant Literal Translation. There, the plan of God shines forth in all its glory. That's the true God. It's not the God of Christianity. It's a masterpiece. Bye.